Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast. Tonight, no UFC tonight. We're talking strictly fantasy football, getting you ready for your upcoming season. We're going to talk about draft strategy, draft positions, players to avoid, some players you should look for in the later rounds. We're going to give our predictions for who's going to be the fantasy football MVP at the end of the year. You know, tonight I got my brother-in-law, Big Carl, and I got my co-worker, Tracy. Me and Tracy, we've been working together, probably about 2 years now. Me and him talk sports down there every day in the office. And last year was our first time actually playing fantasy football in the same league. So, you know, I got a lot of respect for his sports knowledge. That's why he up here. So, ladies and gentlemen, my homeboy, Tracy. What's up, Tracy? How you doing, bro?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Just want to let y'all know at the top, I've been playing fantasy for over 20 years. I've done football, basketball, and baseball. So I know a little bit about a lot of different things. So we'll see what we get into.
Okay. And last but not least is my brother Carl out in Florida. Me and him have been battling each other for over about 15 years now, right, Carl?
Ooh, yeah, so, about 15, yeah.
Yeah, man, we've been going there for about 15 years. So without any further ado, my brother, Big Carl. What's up, baby? How you doing, bro?
Bro, I'm doing great, bro. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to get on here on Lee and Keys. I know y'all know him to do your MMA thing, but we invading with some fancy football right now. My claim to fame, I won the championship with Jay Feely, baby. Keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. So, look, man, you know, normally, you know, when fantasy draft season come around, you know, everybody want to, you know, they look at their position, where they're going to be drafting at. We normally don't know until the day of the draft. Just for your personal reason, where do you like to draft at, Tracy? What's your preferred draft position?
For me, my preferred draft position is like number six. And the reason why is because at number six, you guaranteed to get one of those elite players. And you know you always need a bell cow on your team, so you want to get a Zeke, you want to get an Alvin Kamara, you want to get a Saquon Barkley, one of those dudes. And so for me, you already know, you laughed at me all last year about running backs. You already know that's what I want. And so at that number six, I'm pretty much guaranteed to get one of them top dudes. So if you get something that's too early, yeah, you'll probably get an elite player, but you got to wait like 25 picks, 30 picks before it's your turn again. So you'll wind up with somebody that's really good with somebody that you really don't want as your second pick. And then if you get somebody that's too late, you're going to miss out on all the elite players. So your first pick will be somebody like Melvin Gordon. And, I mean, he's okay. But for me, he's not the kind of guy I'm looking for with my first pick. So number six is where I like to go.
I agree with that.
All right, Carl.
Six,
what about
seven?
You, Carl?
Six or seven, I like Tracy's strategy on that. Six or seven is where I like to be, but we all know, as you said in the beginning, you know, you roll the dice and sometimes you last. But you know, I'm looking for running back. I want Ezekiel. I want Saquon. I want Alvin. I want Christian. You know what I'm saying? I want one of those top all running backs. I'm guaranteed my first pick is going to be a running back. It's just a matter of where I fall, who I'm going to choose.
Okay.
Man, that's my own heart.
Yeah, man, we all basically got the same answer. I said six or seven, and my reason is kind of different than y'all's. I like to feel like I'm part of the action. I think when you draft at six or seven, your turn is always there. You always on the clock. So you always got to be making a decision of where you want to go at in the draft. But also, I don't mind number 12. I think I won maybe three of my championships drafting in the last spot. Because I think 12, you can go back-to-back in the first and second round and get two quality players. Then when you come back to three and four, your third and fourth round pick, that's when your decision-making got to be on point about who you're going to take in the third and fourth round. Are you going to go running back? Are you going to go quarterback, wide receiver, or you can take the best available player? or you're going to go wide receiver quarterback. So I kind of like 12 because of the back-to-back thing, even though you do have a long wait in between your second and third pick. But 6 or 7 is where I prefer to be at because you're always part of the action.
No, I was just going to say, that number 12, it feels good at the very beginning. Like you say, you get that back-to-back, and you probably can get two really good players. But then by the time they come back, you got to pick through people that's like, I got to pick him. These are my choices. And like you say, you got to be on point. You can't get nothing wrong when you come in that number 12 spot because it's going to be so long before it's your turn again. So you literally have to hit on every pick.
Yeah. He's right. But I think I had number 12 in two drafts last year. The trick to it, in my experience, is one, is right. You have to be prepared. You know, you got to really work your cue with your first and second pick within that position that you're looking for. Because you know if they snatch those people away from you, maybe your third course is there, but it's better than that fifth or sixth one that you could have gotten. And keep in mind that if you can also get to see what everybody else's draft strategy is from looking up and watching how they're going about their business. And you can cherry pick a lot of people's picks by watching how they pick. And I know what you're going for now because I see what you drafted last two times. I'm going to get the best available because I need it before you do.
All right. Hey, man, one of y'all got a radio? Come on, turn it down.
Not me.
Hey, but look.
No,
speaking
I don't
of draft
anything
strategy,
on. It's just me on the phone.
All right, speaking of draft strategy, how important is your draft strategy? And is it hard to stick to it depending on the competitiveness of your league? Or regardless of what everybody's doing, you stick to your draft strategy? I'll let you go first, Carl.
Yeah, I'm sticking to mine. It's tried and true. I'm not moving. I know exactly. I mean, I know who I'm drafting after my first pick, but I guarantee you the position will not change. It's not, and it really is based upon the league setup. If we got two running backs or three wide receivers, you know, I don't get into these old funky leagues where they want two quarterbacks and all this. I'm not – I get your league. I see that, and I exit your league. I'm not coming in there for that foolishness because that's not being competitive. You know, I want competitive fire. I want trash talking. You know, I want
right.
to see people – I don't even like people not making their draft. You know, I want to kick you out the league when you don't make the draft.
Carl is hard as a commissioner. Carl is real hard, and he's made me his assistant general manager. Now they got hard, too, with some of the leagues I'm in. So, you know, man, it do make a good competition. But, Tracy, your draft strategy, I mean, I kind of last year went through a draft with you, and we was kind of, you know, joking about your draft strategy. But actually, it was a sound strategy coming end of the year. So tell us about, do you stick with your strategy all the way through, or does the way people drafting, do it kind of make you change up, or are you a go-with-the-flow type person?
This is the way I work. Running back until you force to pick somebody else. In other words, when I say you force to pick somebody else, that means that there's somebody there that shouldn't be there. Like, for example, maybe T.Y. Hilton's still around. You can snap him up in the third round or somebody like him. So, for me, I'm always going to stick to that strategy until somebody makes me do something else. Now, if there's a value pick there, like I said, a guy that should have been picked already, because we all have been in drafts before, so we know somebody's going to draft Aaron Rodgers in the first round. Somebody's going to draft the kid from Kansas City in the first round. It's always going to be somebody that does something stupid. I've even seen somebody draft a defense in the first round, and I felt like he should have been kicked out right then, but they left him in there. And so we pretty much knew that instead of competing against 11 people, or 12 people rather, we only had to compete against 11 because he had already got kicked himself out. Yes, sir. So with me, like I say, I stick with it unless I'm forced to do something different because of the value pick being there.
All right. I mean, I think for me, and this gonna sound weird, is I never go into a draft with a strategy. I'm a gut feeling type of person.
Jeez.
I'm a gut feeling type of person. What I do is I'll look at, you know, I'll probably get me about two or three fantasy magazines, see how they rank their players, you know, see what they're saying about it. But I normally go with how I feel about a player, you know, how I feel about a team, and how I feel about their schedule. If a team has a weak schedule and they got a strong offense, I'm going to try to get at least two guys off that team. Maybe the kicker and the wide receiver or the running back and the kicker or the wide receiver and the tight end, something like that from that team. But I know that a lot of times when I try to go in with a strategy are the years that I do bad. I mean, I think last year was probably one of my worst years, and I had a solid team last year. But I was going with the rankings and going with a draft strategy instead of going with what I normally going with, which I've been competitive with. But I think this year I'm going to go partly strategy, partly gut. And I'll probably go with my gut probably towards the later rounds than the early rounds. And I'll probably go with strategy in the early rounds. I'm going to get out of go this year and see what happens.
Hey, look, I think, bro, if I ain't been playing with you for all these years, I'll swear you ain't win no championship. You end up going with your gut as you going with your strategy. Your gut is who you pick. Your strategy stays the same. That's where you at with that. I can't do that. I mean, when I first started, I used to get all the books and sit down and read them for a month. You know, now, about a day or two before the draft, you know, I'm going through, I pay attention to NFL Network, see who got hurt, you know, which rookie's showing off, you know, and then I go to draft. Because my strategy is tried and true. I'm not changing that.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, coming in with just kind of going with your gut, I couldn't do it because I know for me personally, I'm going to miss somebody that I should have got. I'd be like, damn, I forgot about him, or shit. You know, just different things. And so I have to have a plan and then just kind of have in my mind, okay, I already know this dude should be available, and just kind of play it that way. But just kind of coming in without doing that, yeah, I'm not going to do very well.
Okay, but to piggyback off something Tracy said earlier, you know, when you got that guy or that girl in your league, that they first round, they take Sebastian Janikowski or the Jaguars defense. You know, people that do crazy stuff in the draft, normally that people, it's their first time doing it, they in it for fun. So normally it's one of them leagues where you normally don't have to pay money to get in. But I know in the last couple of years, a trend in fantasy football has been quarterbacks going in the first round. I know for me personally, that's not something that I would normally do because I believe you can get a quality quarterback towards the mid to later rounds and be solid. So how y'all feel about, all right, Tracy, how do you feel about quarterbacks going in the first round? Let's say in a 12-team league, because most of us in 12-team league, somebody takes a quarterback in the first round.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing I said about the people that pick defense or, in your example, the kicker in the first round. All right, now I don't have to worry about them competing for the championship because just like what you said, you know, you don't have to get a quarterback early because, honestly, the differences between the number one quarterback and the number seven or eight quarterback aren't really that great, whereas opposed to the difference between a number one running back and a number nine or ten running back is huge. Same thing with wide receiver. So a quarterback, I'm not really worried about that. You already know, both of you guys already know as well as I do, in round 9 or 10, you probably can get Phillip Rivers or somebody like Dak Prescott or what have you. And granted, those guys aren't going to have top-of-the-line numbers, but they're consistent and they're going to get you numbers that can help you win, especially if you pick the people you're supposed to pick in the first round.
Man, let me tell you something. Tracy, when I get a spot open in my league, you get me in. You getting in. Hey, you are getting in. I may boot somebody. Leno, I'll do it. Hey, look, I'm not drafting a quarterback until maybe the sixth round and beyond. I am not. Because, like Tracy said, somebody there is there of value that's not going to lose me games. You know, why? I mean, who? Unless your name is, Brady about to be 42 this year, football year. That's old man time. So I don't even know if Brady. Now, I can't think of a quarterback off the top of my head right now.
Mahomes is going in the first round in a lot of mock drafts.
That's because all these rookies are going off of his 1 year hype. I'm not drafting him. Okay, you draft him in the first round, and I bet you I might not see you in the playoffs. Because while you drafting him, I done picked the players that he's throwing to. I'm about to whoop you.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Actually, I'm with y'all on this. I can't draft a quarterback in the first round, dog. I just can't do it. I mean, I done took Aaron Rodgers a couple times in the second round. I done took Aaron Rodgers a couple times in the third round. But normally, like, that would be like if I was drafting in the 12th position, you know, on that third or fourth pick, or that fifth or sixth pick. That's when I would, like, take Aaron Rodgers or, you know, back then, Ben Roethlisberger. But I'm with you guys, man. You can win games with Phillip Rivers. You can win games with Matthew Stafford. Even though he throw a lot of interceptions, he do throw a lot of touchdowns. I think you can win games with, you know, bottom-tier guys, man. Guys that's going to be steady. Not superstar points, but they're going to be steady. Get you anywhere between 18 and 20 points every week. And
that's
they don't have a lot of turnovers. That's what I'm looking for, probably in the sixth or seventh round. You know, I'm probably looking for Big Ben. I'm probably looking at Phillip Rivers. You know, Matthew Stafford, I'm really not a big fan of Stafford, but I know on his team he's going to air it out. So, you know, I think you can get quality guys in the later round, but you will have a guy or a girl that will take Patrick Mahomes in the first round. And you might have a guy or a girl that will take Aaron Rodgers in the first round or early second round. I guarantee you, if you be patient, you probably can get Andrew Luck in about the fifth round, sixth round. You probably can get Russell Wilson in probably the fifth or sixth round, too, depending on, you know, how guys are drafted. So you can get quality guys late. And taking a quarterback in the first round with you guys, you basically are hoping that this guy is going to give you 25 to 30 points every week. That's what you're hoping on when you take a quarterback in the first round. And there's no guarantee that a quarterback.
Hey, let me tell you this. Here's a little quarterback strategy in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I put a lot of thought into what division my quarterback plays in. For example, my lonely Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I will pick Jameis Winston. I would pick him if he was available and it came down to somebody else, I mean a few people. Cause I know everybody that's on NFC South can't play defense. So I know he gonna score me some points. Bottom line, I put some thought into that. You know, people in the AFC South with Brady and them boys, you know, them boys don't play no defense either. AFC East, they don't play no defense. That's why That's why your boy down in Jacksonville may do something. Because they don't play no defense outside of New England. Well, you know, except for Jacksonville, but still.
But Jacksonville in the South, though.
Hey, well, whether it's the South, the East, the whole AFC, it still break down to paying attention to who your quarterback plays twice every year. And that division is garbage. You might want to get the best quarterback in that division because he gonna be the man in that division.
And actually, that's a good strategy because you look at the AFC West, if you got Mahomes and Rivers, you got to say they're going against the Raiders twice. Kansas City defense really isn't that good on the back end. And the Broncos, they stout up front, but I think they could be got this year in the secondary. So the AFC West might be a division where a quarterback – could have a big day. Even Derek Carr might have a big game here and there against the AFC West. So that's a sound
right.
strategy. I think one thing about Foles going to Jacksonville, though, I think the only thing with him is they do have some good defenses in Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston. So if they are hoping that he's going to produce like he produced in Philly, I think that might be a stretch because of the style of play that Jacksonville play with and because they do have some top 10, top 15 defenses down there. All right, man. So
I think he's going to be hard-pressed to duplicate that, though, because name a receiver on their team besides DeeDee Westbrook.
Can't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was thinking of when he was talking. He just came to mind. And then, I mean, their guys, they don't make plays.
Mm-hmm.
They just have guys. They got New York Giants type dudes. Giants wouldn't even trade for one of their wide receivers. That's how bad their receivers are right now.
And Lord knows they need them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right,
they
man,
definitely
so,
need it, but they don't want no part of it.
All
Go
right.
Ahead,
so,
Lee.
So every year in the draft, there's certain players that we as – managers of a squad that we're gonna stay away from. What's a guy or two guys called that you gonna avoid this year at all costs?
Man, do I have to limit it to two guys? Because I can tell you right now, I limit. If you are in a shared backfield, you will not be on my team. That's how important
okay,
running back. That's how important the running back position is, scoring-wise. I can't have you on my team and you're in a shared backfield. I can't do it. I can't. So, you know, you got your boy Devontae and who else he's sharing with out there in Atlanta. He put up numbers. Yes, he do. They gave him the contract extension a couple years back. But he's still sharing in the backfield. I don't know who's running the ball. Who?
Coleman gone. He with the 49ers now.
I guarantee you they still ain't going to ride Freeman like they should.
Well, I think they're going to throw some Ito out there, but I'm sure Ito Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, up until last year, I stayed away from Kamara. I stayed away from
okay.
him. Because he was sharing with old boy out of Alabama. What's that boy's name? I can't keep up with the Alabama boys. They all come
Ingram.
Out. Yeah, oh, Ingram, yeah. They were splitting carries almost neck and neck. I mean, as a fantasy manager, I can't win with that. I can't. I need my running back. If they say that you're supposed to, that they think you're going to get, 9-10 points this week, I need you to get that 9-10. I'm counting on you.
Yeah.
That's why I put you in the lineup. You're supposed to give me 9-10. You give me 9-10. Don't have me have to have a come to Jesus moment with you during the bye week.
Yeah.
Giving one of them fine brimstone speeches.
All right, Tracy, who you staying away from this year?
Well, real quick, just to comment on what Carl was talking about, Lee, you know I know about that because I had Kamara last year, and in those first games when Ingram was out on suspension, man, he was carrying me. Once he came back, my season was over.
Hmm.
So that's how that went. But the player I'm staying away from this year is going to be your boy Le'Veon Bell. Here's why. This dude has an injury history. He's hurt all the time. He already missed all of last year because he was holding out for his money or whatever. He's with a brand new team. I don't know how strong their offensive line is. They don't have the same weapons the Steelers had. Adam Gase doesn't like to throw to backs that much. I'm not saying that Le'Veon's not going to. He'll probably have like 50 catches or whatever. But you're using that dude getting 80 catches in Pittsburgh, and he's getting all the carries too. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. And then, like I said, he's in a new offense. They don't have the three Bs and all this other stuff that he's used to playing with over his entire career. His biggest weapon is what, Robbie Anderson? And then I think their tight end is suspended. And then you got to count on people like, come on, man, Bilal Powell and people of that nature. I just don't see him having that big of a season, and I'm not staking my season on him. So he would be the guy that I would look to avoid.
And a lot of mock drafts had him going either 6 or 7 in the first round. So I think Le'Veon is going to have a tough tread. I think Kamara is actually going to have a good year this year because I don't think Latavius Murray poses that much of a threat to him. And plus, Latavius don't catch the ball. So I think Kamara will probably be back to his early season form. But I think there's two guys I'm staying away from. And me and Tracy talked about this at work. I'm staying away from David Johnson, man. Arizona has a terrible offensive line. They have a terrible offensive line, and I don't see that line creating holes for him to get a gang of yards. But he might get goal line touches. That's the only way he'll score. I don't see him being as productive as he was when they had Carson Palmer. You know, back then they had a somewhat of an offensive line. And plus, I think a lot of teams will try to force Kyler Murray to beat them with his arm instead of David Johnson beating them at the line of scrimmage. And I'm standing away from Brandon Cooks, man. Brandon Cooks is a guy that if he don't get you a long touchdown, then basically you really don't even know that he's on your squad sometimes. Because, you know, they'll get him a reverse here, reverse there. But if he ain't hitting the home run, and plus with the Rams, last year Robert Woods came on, and then Cooper Kupp was hurt. So I'm staying away from Brandon Cooks, man. I just can't see me taking him. I just don't see it happening.
Man, look, here's the deal with Brandon Cooks. That guy, he was on a team with arguably two of the best quarterbacks we'll ever see. And he couldn't make it. All right? So, no, he is on the do not draft list as well. I'm going to tell you somebody else, since we're talking about will not be on my team. And I hate to say it because I like the man as a player. I've watched him for years and years. But Larry Fitzgerald can't be on my team, bro.
Nope.
That dude cannot be on. Look, if he gets on my roster by accident, he getting cut before the night's up. I cannot do it, bro. Too many years, he's let me down. And one other wide receiver, and I know people listening to this going to be like, man, you done lost your mind. But I've been doing it for a long time. And he just got hurt again this weekend. That dog old boy
about
out.
Fitz.
Nah, not Fitz.
Only thing
oh,
about,
no.
Thing about Fitz, though, Carl, only thing about Fitz I see is I see him being a security blanket for Kyler Murray. And I think in a PPR league, he'll probably be a beast. But if you far as, like, touchdowns and yards, I don't see him being a beast in that department, but as far as like catches, I see him probably being a beast. Hey, but I gotta throw this out to my man Tracy. Tracy,
what's that?
Tell me about Sean McCoy and why we're staying away from him.
Oh no, that dude, man, Sean McCoy killed me. I remember one game in particular last year. I had that dude. He ripped off a big carry like on the first carry of the game. He had like 25 yards or something. So I saw it at the bottom of the screen. You know how they have to crawl. I'm like, oh, this dude about to go off. 15 minutes later, he still has one carry for 25 yards. 30 minutes later, so I'm like, okay, what happened to this dude? And so now his legs hurt or his knees hurt or something. Then you don't know if he's going to play the next week. Then he's getting outrushed by the quarterback. Then some dude I ain't never heard of, and I still can't tell you his name, was getting all the damn carries. And so I'm done with Shady. I can't do nothing with him. I can't do nothing
shady,
with him.
His play is shady.
Okay,
he's
Paul,
me. I couldn't use him.
Hmm? Paul, I got to throw this question at you. It's on that, on A. You know I love you, man, but I got to throw this out because me and Tracy was talking about it. Tampa Bay running backs,
this is
bro.
Good. Go ahead.
What are we looking at with the Tampa Bay backfield, man?
Man, a share. Hey, what I tell you about that shared carry? Hey, look, we down here hoping that Ronald Jones show up and take over because if not, we in trouble again. All the film I'm seeing from the, you know, that they've been showing online, you know, the little, buckaholics out here, you know, showing, got little videos online. He doing it, you know, Bruce Arians, you know, he known to, you know, get a running back and go out there and do something, i.e., you know, what's that boy name? David Jones, who we staying away from. Your boy, Ellington, that was in Arizona. He's in Tampa now. I don't think he's going to start, but he's trying to earn a roster spot, and he knows the offense, so that gives him a leg up. But Ronald Jones, he young legs. This is second year in the league out of USC. I need him to show me something like he was doing when he was in college. I seen all the plays. I'm like, this dude can run the ball. I don't know what the problem was last year. I know he was a rookie, but good gosh.
The funny part, bro, is I wrote down Tampa Bay running backs have to see what Jones would do under, will he get better under Arians. I think Jones would get better under Arians, but I also think Peyton Barber might get better under Arians because Peyton Barber can catch the ball. Another guy, the last guy I want to bring up, and I'm going to let you guys chime in on this, is Lamar Jackson will not be on my team. I will not take Lamar Jackson. Not even as a bye week pickup. I just don't trust Lamar Jackson. I didn't trust him while he was in college. I didn't trust him last year when they put him in. And they talking about this year he's supposed to be a better thrower. And they doing some offensive changes to kind of suit his playmaking ability. But I would definitely stay away from Lamar Jackson. How y'all feel about Lamar Jackson? With you, Tracy.
Why you don't like Lamar, man? Every time I see you be talking down on this dude, why you got to give the dude an opportunity? I get exactly what you're saying. He's not very accurate. Mostly it was with the legs and things of that nature. But what's so intriguing about him is that you already know he's going to run the ball. The passing is a bonus, which is crazy. He's a quarterback. So the passing is a bonus. You already know he's going to get that yardage. I ain't going to say I'm not going to pick him. I also ain't going to say I am going to pick him. But if he's around in 12th round, 13th round, and I already got everything else I need, I might pick him just to see what would happen. Now, if he don't show improvement that first week or so, more than likely getting cut. But, you know, like I said, at the end, if I got everything I need and I'm just taking a flyer on it, I might do it, but definitely no higher than that, if at all.
Yeah, well, I'm with Tracy. On this one, he could literally earn a roster spot in the 12th pick of the 12th round. He could be on my team because all I need him to do is no, don't lose me a game 1 week because he ain't my starter.
Right.
So if I stash him and he start to go off, I may have to make a decision because he has the ability to run that ball. And obviously, he can throw enough to survive in the NFL. So if he can finally put it all together, I can have a steal sitting on my bench or a very, very good trade asset.
Hey, there you go.
Man, I can't do it. All right.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Hey, but speaking of late round picks and Lamar Jackson, which player do y'all think would be a late round steal for your team? Start with you, Carl. Who you got?
Ooh-wee. I'm gonna tell you something. The only position to me that can be a late round steal is wide receiver, because I already got my running backs locked in. I can't late steal that. But I'm gonna tell you somebody who I got my eye on as these drafts going, just to see how things work out. All right, and his name, I hate to say it because I didn't trust him for years, but last year made a believer out of me. He may not be there, but I got a little faith in Stephon Diggs. I got a little faith. Just a little bit, because he got so much potential, bro. And I know he's been in the league for a couple of years now, but the potential is, I've just been watching. The potential is there. I think part of the problem, and it was solved a little bit last year, was the quarterback position. Dude got a quarterback now. I know you, and I know you get mad about it because your skin. but your boy. I think is gonna show off finally. I mean, look, last year dude had 102 receptions, his best with new quarterback. His previous high was 84. He hit 1,000 yards last year. The dude is under the radar. He under the radar.
I actually don't think he under the radar. I think a lot of people look at him as under the radar because Kirk Cousins was locked in on Thielen early in the season. He was really locked in on Thielen. And plus, they wasn't really running the ball. Once they started running the ball, you saw Stephon Diggs become a factor. So I think Stephon will probably go, if I guess right, he'll probably be gone in the first six rounds. He'll probably be gone probably, what, round four, round five? Or do y'all think he go later than that?
I think he in the 7-8-9 range, I think.
Oh, man.
I think so.
What's that again?
Go ahead, Charlie.
I say somebody like me will steal him, though. I steal him in the sixth round now. Because I value him more than some other people.
Right. For me, I'm kind of along the lines of what you were saying, Lee. I'm thinking at the latest, he might be there in the fifth round. Because, I mean, face it, he's going to be in the offense that throws the ball all the time. You already know he's one of the two guys that are going to be getting the majority of those passes. And he has that run after the catch ability. The only thing that makes me hesitate on him, and he can be get kind of dinged up from time to time. And so you just don't know how that's going to work out. But otherwise, yeah, I see him going around the fifth round, somewhere in that range.
Three wide receiver leads. He'd probably be that third wide receiver on most people's team.
My lead round steal, it ties into exactly what Carl said. There's a wide receiver, and there's Albert Wilson from the Miami Dolphins. And the reason I like him is because you guys know as well as I do, whenever these dudes come from New England and they go someplace else, they adopt that New England style. So what does that mean for Miami? That means that they're going to be throwing to the slot receiver, which in this case more than likely is going to be mostly Albert Wilson. So in seven games last year before he got hurt, he had 26 catches, 391 yards, and four touchdowns. Now, if you put that out over a whole year, now these ain't numbers that's going to bowl you over, but it's like a third wide receiver, especially, like I said, somebody that you didn't even think was going to be there. 59 catches, 894 yards, and 9 touchdowns is actually pretty good. He has no competition.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola isn't there anymore. And so I'm thinking that somebody like this dude here, like I said, if you come to the end of your draft and you feel like you might need a little help on wide receiver or you may just want to take a chance on somebody, you could do worse than picking up Albert Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a numbers, dog.
Because that's what I'm saying. For a third wide receiver, that's not bad.
Mm-mm.
And One thing a lot of people don't know about Harvey Wilson, he is coming from Andy Reid's system, so he do know how to get open. So, and he did have a solid live last year before he got hurt, because Devontae Parker has been a bust down there in Miami.
Super
so,
super.
All right, Harvey Wilson. But you know, man, on my late round still, I had a couple, but I'm gonna just I had Kareem Hunt, but I think a lot of people would take Kareem Hunt probably round about round seven, round eight. You know, I think he's going to go after people get their starters because, mm-hmm. they think they're going to project him as getting a lot of work after his suspension. But I'm going to go with Darrell Henderson, man. I'm going to go with Darrell Henderson as a cut for Gurley. A lot of Gurley is still going in the first round in a lot of drafts. But if you know anything about his knee, I think his knee is going to get worse as the season goes on. It's not like it's an injured knee. It's an arthritic knee. So it's just constant pain. So he might give you a good game here, a good game there, you know, a mediocre game here. Maybe he missed his game. So I think Darrell Henderson is a guy that I would look at in the later rounds as being a cut. Gurley, if you don't know a lot about Darrell Henderson, last year in college, he averaged 10 yards a carry. I know that's college, but he kind of sort of played in the same system that the Rams played in, and I thought that was a good pickup for them. Only reason I'm projecting him as a late-round steal is only because of Gurley's knee. If Gurley shows up that he's healthy, then Henderson will probably get cut probably like week four or something like that when you see Gurley is up and running, maybe week six at the latest, because I don't know what the Rams buy, what week they have a buy. So if they got an early buy, you get Gurley time enough to recharge his battery and then give you that late season push. But if he's up and down, I would say give Darrell Henderson a look. Another guy that I would say give a look to, and this don't sound crazy, I think Antonio Callaway, one of Carl Gators, I think he's going to be a late round steal because you can't double everybody on the Browns. So with him being able to be a speedster and he can catch the ball and he got run after the catchability, he might get a lot of big plays this year because teams will be concentrating on Odell, Landry. Probably some teams might try to stop the run early. So look for Antonio Callaway to be an impact player, man. What y'all think?
Hey, I stand behind that 100%, baby. Hey, you know how I am about my Gators now. Hey, my whole thing with Cleveland, I wonder if it's too good to be true. They got a lot of weapons, man, and I'm not sure they know what to do with them. It's like when you broke as a kid and all of a sudden you get some money like the NFL players, you don't know what to do with yourself.
That's how
I see the Browns right now. Man, they got weapons all over the place, bro. I mean, but is OBJ going to be happy? You know, because that's Landry's team. He was there a year before. Him and Antonio, can my man Antonio stay out of trouble in the pros? Can he stay off the weed? You know, can Mayfield? You know, I like his fire, but can he tone it down a little bit to be the leader? You know, and I don't even know what to begin on defense. You know, but they can't outscore everybody.
But you know what, Funny, I'm glad you brought that up about the Browns, because we got another topic where I asked you guys which NFL team is poised to have a great season fantasy-wise. So normally I would let you guys go first, but I'm going to go first on this. I picked the Colts to have a great season fantasy-wise. First of all, they
good
got
call.
A good quarterback in Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. They got Marlon Mack, who came on last year. Of course, they got T.Y. And then they got two serviceable tight ends and Ebron and Doyle. But I think the thing that's going to make them a great fantasy team is somebody that don't even score points, their offensive line. I think their offensive line allows them to run the ball, throw the ball, and allow Andrew Luck to make plays without being sacked, without being hurried. And their offensive line was pretty good against the blitz last year. But there's one guy that me and Tracy talked about, and I'm going to let him shine on this later, is I think Paris Campbell is going to be a big player for them, man. If he can be a rookie wide receiver in the slot that can make plays, they will be dynamic because he can run after the catch. He's fast. He got strong hands, and he played in a pro system at Ohio State. And my sleeper guy on the Colts team is Nyheim Hines, out of North Carolina State running back. Hines can catch it. He can run it. And he got some starts last year when Mack was out. So he ain't green, and he won't be scared of the bright light. So my fantasy team to watch for this year is the Indianapolis Colts. Tracy, who is your team to watch for this year, bro?
All right, you already know who I'm going to say. This is what all y'all really need to be saying the same thing I'm saying. But I don't know about the Colts for now. But the team that I'm saying as far as they have a great fantasy season is going to be the Atlanta Falcons, Dave. And here's why. I know it sounds like a homer pick, but here's why. Number one, they got Dirk Cutter back as their OC. That dude that had them drinking issues, he gone. He never should have been there in the first place. I'm glad he's gone. Dirk Cutter's back. I know that you're probably happy to call that he's gone from being your head coach. And
yeah,
I welcome him back as all with open arms. We got Devontae Freeman back. Coleman's a good running back, but he doesn't make the difference like Devontae Freeman does. That dude just brings a certain kind of energy to the huddle. And they already been talking about it this year, how much they missed it when he wasn't there last year. So you got him. You got Ito to back him up. And just like Carl talked about, they're going to be using Ito some. But I don't think Ito's going to get as many carries as Coleman was getting. He's not quite at that level. But then also when you think about when Cutter was there before, they had a good tight end in Tony Gonzalez. I'm not saying Hooper is Tony Gonzalez, but Hooper has talent. I just think that Sarkisian didn't know how to use him. Now that we got Cutter back, he's going to get the tight end involved. That guy can play. He just doesn't get the looks that he needs to get. So once you combine that, you already know about Julio. I don't need to say anything about him. You saw how Ridley jumped on the scene last year. I don't need to say anything about that. But then a guy people forget about is Sanu. Sanu is one of those tough dudes that makes all the catches. Sometimes he drops ones he shouldn't drop, but more often than not, he's going to make those tough catches, and he just brings that extra energy, not to mention he can throw the option pass and all these other things. So to me, when you put all those facets together, along with the fact that they got two rookies that's going to be starting on the offensive line, ideally. Now, that's going to be the key. If those rookies can play like they say they're supposed to be able to play, the sky's the limit for Atlanta. They should be very good. And then that's going to translate to the other side, too, on the defense. Their defense is back. So I expect big things from those dudes. For me, it's Super Bowl or bust with Atlanta. That's my take on it.
Super Bowl of bust.
Actually, you saw the Falcons on that because I think some guys are better as coordinators than they are as head coach. If you look at North Turner, he's better as a coordinator than he is a head coach. I think Dirk Cutter is the same way. He was better as the offensive coordinator than he is as a head coach. So,
All right,
Carl.
Agreed.
What you got as a fantasy team, bro?
Woo! Man, look, as y'all were discussing, I was going back and forth in my mind. I was like, the Chiefs are gonna be crazy. The Chiefs. And then homerism kicked in, and I was like, the Bucks. hey, you heard me. And look here.
I'm listening.
Bruce Arians, okay? If I don't say nothing else, I say the godfather, Bruce Arians. He's going to hold interception-prone Jameis Winston accountable. Everybody that has played in that dude's offense has showed out. Everybody. Bruce Arians has never had the weapons that he inherited on his team. He got a top five wide receiver in Mike Evans. You got an up and coming. You got an up and coming in Chris Godwin that nobody, that it was easy to let Deshaun go because of the emergence of Godwin. Okay.
Okay.
And O.J. Howard, who, you know, if not this year, next, will probably be the best tight end in the league with Gronkowski gone. Because we're going to throw it to O.J., and that dude is a mismatch nightmare. We're going to score points. We score points in Dirk Carter's offense. And you're right. The dude is an awesome play caller, but he just couldn't handle the head coaching job. I wish we could have kept him as an OC. The dude can score points.
Right.
He could not do anything else, man. Our defense was garbage because he hired garbage coordinators to do garbage stuff. Man, hey, look, I've been watching video of these boys, that doggone Ndamukong Suh penetrating the line. It's like them boys came blocking the damn Vita Vea. Ain't nobody block that big Samoan. Bro, we might be the Falcons' worst nightmare because they can't block either. I don't care what they say about their offensive line.
We're going to see.
Them boys going to have some problems, too. We going to score some points. And they done made the right moves on the defense, plugging the right holes. Yeah, we lost old boy to a rival. But
Trevor McCoy?
Yeah, but we filled it. We filled that gap with somebody who played with a little more intensity. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I like a little nastiness on my team. I like a little bit. I don't want you to go over the line, but toe it a little bit for me. I'm with that. My man, he won't toe the line. He was trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. You can't be Mr. Nice Guy playing defensive tackle, bro. Now the Tampa Bay, we got a Hall of Famers play the three technique Tampa Bay, bro. Ain't no niceness. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only thing I didn't like about him. He was too nice. You can't be a D-tackle and be nice. Smiling all the time. I need to see, we missing some teeth or something. You know what I'm saying? And some old hockey players.
No, I got you. Hey, when you first said that call, I was wondering whether you was drinking or not. But you know what? You actually made some sense of what you said. And this is what really convinces me of what you was talking about. What people don't realize is that when Bruce Arians was in Arizona, he averaged almost 10 wins a season. And it's not like Arizona was some great team. He
right.
made them great. So I see that he probably could do those same things. Like you said, Jameis Winston just needs the right person, you know, to help him cut down his interceptions. I think he's going to have a good season. Your running backs, we already talked about that. Mike Evans is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and that tight end. And then you got Brake backing him up. He's still there, right?
Yep. Double tight end.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. You guys might be able to – you might be able to make a little noise. You can't do nothing with the Falcons, but I'm just saying.
Well, hey, look, the bottom line is, when we ain't been to the playoffs in about 6-7 years, I just want to get there. Just let me put my toe in there one time, get a little, see how warm the water is, and then I can regroup and come back next year ready to really ball. I just need a little young bucks to just taste a little bit. That's it.
It's kind of funny that you guys went with the Falcons, who used to coach. I mean, Dan Carter with the Falcons, who used to coach the Bucks, and Arians, who was just out of coaching, who's coming back into coaching. So, and then, you know, the guy I went with is Frank Reich. This is second year coaching. So we basically went with guys that, you know, 2 years or younger into what they're doing right now. As far as being a head coach, offensive coordinator, you know. But I think a team that we both, that all three of us probably thought about was probably Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
My only issue with Kansas City is teams are going to defend Kansas City a little different than they did last year. And I think the league will catch up with Patrick Mahomes. So – That's the only reason why I never even considered going with Kansas City. But we all know they're going to be probably high scoring again because their defense probably going to give it up again this year. So they're going to be high scoring. But I think we all went with young teams, you know, as far as Luck. Matt Ryan is seasoned, but he got a lot of, you know, he young on the offensive line, which they need to be. And he's young in the backfield and young at the second receiver. But I like y'all picks as far as Carl, you really sold me on the Bucs because the Bucs really wasn't on my radar, but Bruce Arians is on my radar. So we'll see how it all plays out, man. But look, man, we got a couple minutes left. So Tracy, I'm gonna start with you on this one. Who will be this year's fantasy football MVP?
Let's see, for me, and I came up with this answer before the slew of wide receiver injuries, but I'm going to go with it anyway. My answer is Saquon Barkley. And the reason I say him is because everything the Giants do is predicated on what he does. So he's going to wind up getting 7 or 8 more touches a game simply because Beckham isn't there. So those catches have to go somewhere because Beckham was getting 10 targets a game. So you got to figure between him, Ingram, and Sterling Shepard, whenever he comes back, they'll split those 10 targets up. Then he's also going to get more carries because last year, even with all he did, he was only getting like 16 carries a game. And you guys know when you have a guy that you want to touch the ball all the time, you're looking at him to have, you know, 18, 19, 20 carries a game. So just based upon him getting the ball that many more times based on the running and also the extra catches, he had 15 touchdowns last year. So I'm looking for him to be 19 touchdowns, 20 touchdowns. He has the talent to do it. If they can get wide receivers in there that can just keep the defense honest, this dude's going to lose his mind. He's going to go crazy. Look how good he was last year, and their offense was horrible. Everything was based on him. So he's my guy that I'm looking at to be the fantasy MVP this season.
Man.
Who you got, Carl?
Man, let me tell you, hey, I like the pick. I do like the pick, Tracy. The only knock I got on it
is
that quarterback is garbage.
Oh, and I completely agree.
And I think that's what's going to hurt him. I think that's going to hold him back because his quarterback is garbage. I don't care if his last name is Manning. He ain't Peyton. But my fantasy MVP, I believe, and it's gonna hurt. Tracy, it's gonna hurt you because it's hurting me. Christian McCaffrey, man. That dude.
Come on, man.
That dude, bruh. Look, I watched that dude destroy all our teams. Okay, dude, touched the ball all game, whether it's catching, whether it's receiving, or running the ball. He had 336 attempts, run the ball. He had another 107 catches, bruh. This is third year in the league. He primed to be MVP right now. He got a dynamic quarterback. His receivers are serviceable. Ain't nobody on that roster, wide receiver wide, that scare you. So much so, we could line up and play and get paid. Okay, just let Cam throw it to us. All right, and we can do this. That dude, man, bruh. Look, I wanted us to draft him, put it like that. I wanted to draft him so bad because I said, damn, this dude does everything you want out of a running back. Catch the ball out of him. He's what I want. He's what I want Ronald Jones to develop into because he got that type of skill set. At the end of the year, I play like this. I can tell you right now. I'm telling you, because we in leagues together. Tracy, I'm telling you, because I may boost somebody to get you in. If I get the first pick in the draft, I guarantee it's going to be McCaffrey.
Wow. That's big.
Actually, it's crazy because I'm going to read y'all exactly what I wrote down. I think it will be between Barkley and McCaffrey. The difference will be
who will have.
They will have both of them would get good. They would have a gang of total yards, but TDs would be the determinant factor. That's what I wrote down for them guys. But since y'all took Barkley and McCaffrey, I'm gonna go a different way. I'm gonna go with the guy that Tracy said earlier that started off hot and ended up cooling during the year. I'm going with Kamara, man. Only reason is because y'all took Barkley and McCaffrey, and you know we can't all agree.
Right.
So
I'm going with Kamara, man.
I think Kamara would be. He will have a lot of what they did in the early part of the season. They will do this year with him again. He'll have the catches. He'll have the rushes. And one thing about him is they don't take him out when they get to the goal line because he can score in the goal-to-goal. So I think Kamara will have a big year. I think he probably – he might be able to rival Barkley and McCaffrey as far as total yards, but I think the way the Saints' offense is set up, this year might be his biggest rush year because I don't see him looking over his shoulder to get taken out for Ingram because I just don't see Latavius Murray being that effective at what New Orleans wants to do. So I'm going to go with Kamara, but I just want to let you guys know I did have Barkley and McCaffrey. But look, man, this has been real fun tonight, man, you know, catching up with Tracy and my brother Carl. You know, we talking about fantasy football, getting you guys ready for your fantasy season. Hopefully you learned something tonight, stole a few secrets from us as far as what you should do in your draft, as far as which players you should target, and you know what to do in the late round. You know, we had fun tonight. Actually, this was more fun than I had on this show in a long time because it's outside the UFC, and sometimes I like getting out of my UFC bubble. But, Carl, you got any last words, bro?
Hey, man, look. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk a little fantasy football. I hate to give out all my secrets because I did not. But I gave a little bit to keep you hungry and come back for another visit, you know. But, hey, Tracy, hey, I'm looking for a spot for you, brother. I like the way you're talking, so I'm looking for a spot for you. I'm telling you right now, somebody might get a boot.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that.
All right, Tracy, man, welcome. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you, man. Any last words?
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for having me on. Just like Carl said, it was fun. You know, maybe we get together and do it again sometime.
No doubt, man. We're going to do this again. You know, maybe we'll get together at the midpoint of the year, week 8, and see what we think about who's been a disappointment, who's been surprises. Yeah, maybe I'll go ahead and we'll get together week 8 when the fantasy season starts, when real football starts, and we'll get together and see when we can all get on and talk about that. Tonight has been fun, y'all. Had my brother on call. Don't have my boy Tracy on, man. He'll work together. We talk sports all the time. If you want to win your fantasy league, hopefully you learned something tonight. If not, download the show, go back, pick up some nuggets that we threw out to you. We gave y'all a lot of free game tonight. We gave y'all a lot of free game when it comes to fantasy football. So if you win your league, make sure you come back and show love. But
no, that's right.
And always,
that's it.
And always, like I always say, take care of each other, take care of yourself, one love, everybody be good. Peace.
Later.
Yeah.